Live and local on Brisbane's 4BC. This is Afternoons.
Yes, it's time for us to have some free legal advice on Afternoons and a chance to get any questions that you might have about law to our expert, particularly when it comes to how the legal system works. Calvin Ganek is joining me once again. Calvin is a former police officer. He's now the Managing Director of Ganek & Associates, specialising in criminal law and professional misconduct. So if you have a question you'd like to directly put to Calvin, get on the open line now, 133 882. Good afternoon to you, Calvin.
Hello, Sophie. How are you?
I'm very well. All right, let's kick off with the story I just shared with the 4BC and 4RO listeners about this community group now in Mackay who've just said enough is enough. We're going to enforce our own curfew because the kids are out of control and we're sick of having our houses and our cars broken into.
Listen, it continues. I think we've spoken about this before, Sophie, as the community continue to displace frustration, I guess, at the lowest in regards to this issue. I must say from the outset, my advice is to not engage in any type of vigilantism at all. The two main reasons for that are in recent times, we've seen really serious examples, including the loss of life when people have tried to confront offenders. So the first point is it's dangerous to do so. The second point is that those people that engage in that behaviour or those actions also place themselves at liberty of being criminally charged themselves. And we've seen that in recent times as well, all the way up to an example of where a community member tried to stop a person in a stolen vehicle with their own vehicle and they ended up charged with manslaughter. So there's very serious consequences, despite the law in Queensland being that a citizen's arrest powers exist at law. I recommend those powers be used very sparingly, otherwise you place yourself in danger and you place yourself at jeopardy of being charged, despite the frustration that exists with these offences continuing to be committed.
Yeah, because, Calvin, we know at the end of the day, now we're all paying for it. Everybody's seen insurance premiums go through the roof, a lack of safety within your own house, the amount of money that people are spending on putting more security in place so that they feel like at least if they're going to be broken into, they've got some kind of record of the people doing it. It just does feel a little bit like it's out of control. So I can totally understand the frustration.
Yeah, exactly. And there's probably the more nuanced issue as well, Sophie, and that is just feeling safe or feeling unsafe, as it currently would occur with some people in certain areas of Queensland. As a citizen, you're entitled to feel safe, feel as if your property is protected, and you would not be offended against. So the understanding and the existence of that frustration is certainly understandable. But as I say, I can only recommend not to engage, keep your distance, call police, let police do what they can, and advocate in different ways to try and solve this problem. Contact your local member and continue to advocate in that way, the same as what I guess you do, Sophie.
Yeah, absolutely, Calvin. I think the thing with this one too is this kind of call to arms, which is the bit that I find a little bit disturbing. You know, this idea that people are now going to take into their own hands forming some sort of guard. You know, a neighbourhood watch is one thing. Taking to the streets to look for kids who might be wandering around for whatever reason, it is the next level, isn't it?
Yeah. Where is the line? You know, I know my teenage sons walk a dog in the early evening, et cetera, et cetera. Is that going to be acceptable or are they going to be confronted? So it's a very dangerous precedent, and I can't emphasise enough, for want of another term, everyone needs to take a breath. It places the community in danger even further, in my opinion. As I say, you don't know what you're going to be confronted with.
Yeah.
The days of physical confrontations being the limit of these types of confrontations no longer exist. Knives and serious weapons are being produced all the time with catastrophic consequences.
A question without notice. Do you know any more about that case that we had on the Gold Coast where somebody was found wandering around in somebody's backyard and then while they're in the process of keeping them sort of held, she passed away? Have we heard any more about that case?
Sophie, I'm not sure about that exact case, but there have been a couple of examples only in the last 6 months, one of them at the Gold Coast. Like I said, I'm not sure whether it's that exact case, but where there has been bad behaviour by an individual and citizens have executed what is a citizen's arrest, held them down, and unfortunately that person has passed away. The exact cause of the death has not yet been determined, and those matters will be investigated by the coroner in due course.
Yeah.
So there have been examples of that as well.
Yeah, I think that was the same case that I was thinking of. Now, when we last spoke, there's certainly been plenty that has happened and promoted public debate when it comes to e-scooters. So I'd love to have a little focus now on some of the cases that have come before the courts. One was a uni student who's been sent to jail for dangerously operating a scooter after he crashed into an elderly man.
Yes, Sophie, there's two prominent cases. There's also an incident involving a man from Goodna who riding a scooter at high speeds and crashed, not causing injury to any other person other than himself. He was charged by police for dangerous operation of a motor vehicle, being the scooter, and sentenced to a fine and a 6 month disqualification of his licence. So that was the first case, but in April of this year, a matter went before the district court where a 19-year-old male was riding an e-scooter and crashed into a motorcyclist in the Fortitude Valley and caused significant injuries. Now, that matter went before the district court where that person was charged with dangerous operation of a motor vehicle, being the e-scooter, causing grievous bodily harm. That gentleman had not been in trouble with police before. Unfortunately, he ran from the scene and police had to conduct an extensive investigation and identified him through bank records and email details in regards to the hire of the bike. And he was sentenced at first instance as a 19-year-old, having never been in trouble with police before, a volunteer to a homeless charity, and a uni student. He was sentenced to 18 months imprisonment to be suspended for 2.5 years. But quite significantly, the suspension of that sentence only occurred after he served 3 months in custody. So the courts are certainly putting everyone on notice that they are treating the riding of these e-scooters exactly the same way as they would with a motor vehicle on the road.
Yeah, which I think is a good thing, Calvin.
Yes, there needs to be some regulation. There's currently some legal debate amongst the legal fraternity about how far this can go. There is a decision in the Magistrates Court out of Toowoomba where a individual was found guilty of riding or operating a vehicle uninsured, unregistered, and also unlicensed. And that was an e-scooter. And that decision, as I understand it, determined that once the e-scooter was travelling in excess of 25 kilometres an hour, as a matter of law, it converted itself into a motorcycle.
Right.
And therefore had to be unlicensed, unregistered, had to be licensed, registered and insured. Now, that's not exactly clear yet. There's no higher court precedent, but all of these things will be determined in the courts over the coming year or so. But there really needs to be some regulation around these e-scooters to make some certainty.
Yeah, and we know that it's happening. Ash, who is working with me here in the studio, you know, told a story about going home from work here. And you mentioned the 25K limit on an e-scooter. He had one next to him on Wynnum Road that was going at least 60 because it was in the bike lane and he was driving his car and it was keeping pace with him. So obviously we need to see more policing of them as well. One thing I just wanted to ask too before I let you go this afternoon, I know that you're an expert in many areas, but one of them in particular is defamation. And we have slightly different defamation laws in Australia than they do in other parts of the world. Are there some basic factors that need to be met for something to be considered defamatory?
Yes, very, very broad space in regards to defamation, but obviously the starting point is something that is untruthful.
Right.
And something that causes harm to another. So for the proceedings the defamation laws in Queensland or across Australia now with uniform laws are quite long and drawn out. There's a lot of processes before they get to court, but ultimately, a fact that is untruthful and a fact that is causing harm to a person is a very basic start in regards to defamation laws.
Calvin Ganek, as always, a pleasure to have you on the program. And if you'd like to get in touch with Calvin and his team, head to the website ganeklawyers.com. That's G-N-E-C-H, G-N-E-C-H lawyers.com. Have a great week.
Thank you, Sophie. Goodbye.